Good morning, everybody, and I welcome you to this worship service of Central Congregational Church in Attleboro Falls. We are joined today by the chairperson of our board of deacons, Wayne Etney, our youth pastor, Glenn Roundsville, and our musical director, Dave Valerio. As always, if you are a visitor here today, we hope you will be with us often. So, Pastor Glenn, would you please call us to worship?
Great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. His greatness no one can fathom. One generation will commend your works to another. They will tell of your mighty acts. They will speak of the glorious splendor of your majesty, and we gather here to meditate on your wonderful works. Let us call ourselves to worship. Jesus came to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners. Lord, we pray that you would continue to bring comfort to hurting people and to set people free from the injustices in this world and from the bondage of sin and guilt. Provide us with your light that we may see clearly and help those who struggle in darkness and despair. We remember you are always with us as we pray the prayer you taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
I actually have quite a few announcements to make at this time, which is a little different for us. First of all, a reminder about Supply Sacks that's sponsored by your mission committee. The project helps children and teens who often find themselves in the foster care program here in North Attleboro and in the surrounding area as well. Often these children are taken from their homes with only the clothes on their backs. And there's a list in the office Zoom email sent out on Thursday, as well as in the triad for the items to donate. We're going to be doing this for all of September, and you should be hearing from the mission committee next week as well. You'll also be hearing from our Christian Education Committee for our Sunday school is going to begin on September 20th. And we're starting an exciting new virtual Sunday school curriculum. So we're kind of excited about that. And parents who have children will certainly be notified by email. But if you know of anyone who would like to be present for these sessions, please call the church office or send me or Sherilyn Hepburn an email and we'll figure that out. We're also going to be trying something brand new, an outside discussion group. It's going to be next Sunday. It's entitled Confused About All Lives Matter. So we invite you to join us in a discussion about race in America and the current civil rights movement. It's co-hosted by Eric Newby and Cheryl Peterson. They will each share their own story as they relate to Black Lives Matter before inviting others to join the conversation. And you will have the opportunity to ask questions in a respectful atmosphere and reflect collectively on how our faith can guide us in taking steps towards healing racial injustices in our own communities, state, and country. This informal discussion will take place, as I mentioned, next Sunday, September 13th at 2 p.m. outside on our Christian Education Building lawn. Bring your own chair and face mask. Social distancing rules will apply. We also have our Family Feast Friday back. This coming Friday, September 11th from 5 to 7 is pickup in the Vestry parking lot. I believe there's all sorts of information in the Triad about this that went out this past week. It's going to be a homemade garden veggie pasta primavera with zucchini, summer squash, onion, fresh green beans, and so forth. There's a gluten-free that's available, but you have to specify that with ordering. It's going to be $8.50 each. You have to pre-order by contacting the church office by telephone or email on or before this coming Tuesday, September 8th at 12 noon, so that we know how much we need to supply. So that's it for my announcements. Does anyone else have one they desperately need to make? Unmute yourself and come on board.
If there are any parents out there of tweens, if you could get in touch with me, it would help to have cell phone numbers of people. So my cell phone is all over the place, I think in the Triad and wherever. So please send that to me. So then I can send out texts because people seem to respond to that better than emails. And then we can get everybody connected. So that would help. Thank you.
Thank you for that. I think we're going to ask the same thing of everybody. If we don't have a cell phone and you're willing to share it with us, it really would be helpful, especially when we're doing these Zoom meetings. We find that someone's not here and we don't know how to get in touch with a lot of folks. So if you would email that to the church office, that would be great. We would appreciate that. Any other announcements? If not, then Dave, would you introduce your music?
You called me Dave and not Mr. Dave.
Mr. Dave, I'm so sorry.
That's the first time you've called me Dave in years.
Good refreshing morning, it up. Changing it up.
Good morning. And I'd like to thank Kristen for posting the lyrics for the hymn we're going to sing. They are down in the chat. If you go to the little chat button, wherever it may be on your device, and hit on that, you'll see the lyrics for He Leadeth Me. And there's three verses. We're going to sing all three verses. And once again, leave yourself muted, and you'll be singing at home. And let's all join together and sing He Leadeth Me.
He leadeth me. Blessed thought, words with heavenly comfort fraught. Whate'er I do, where'er I be, still 'tis God's hand that leadeth me. He leadeth me, He leadeth me by His own hand. He His faithful follower, I will. amid scenes of deepest gloom. Sometimes where Eden's bowers bloom, by what is still of troubled sea, still 'tis his hand that leadeth me. He leadeth me, he leadeth me by his own hand, he leadeth me, his faithful.
Thank you, Mr. Dave. I appreciate that. For a bit of a change in our worship, we have been looking for folks who are willing to share the story that led them to choose Central Congregational Church to be their church. If you would be willing to share your story, please call the church office or email me or Wayne, and I'm very happy to introduce you to Jackie Howard, who is going to share her story for today. Jackie?
Good morning, everybody. So great to be here and see everybody. I love it. Well, I have a different outlook on it. I bet everybody's is different anyway. But going by the church a few times, I was going to another church, but I wasn't really satisfied with what I was hearing from the pulpit. But people were great and everything, but I needed to hear more about my friend Jesus, my Savior. And I saw the light on the steeple, up in the steeple, whatever, and the music and everything. And I lived up behind there, I don't know, about a half a mile. And that really, you know, drew me to it and everything. And my cousin Sue Stravinsky, I don't know how many people remember Sue. She went there at a time, and she would sit with me when I started going, and she told me about the church and how much she liked it and everything. She's since moved to North Carolina, but and plus it was within walking distance from my home, and I did walk to church a couple of times. Now I don't think I could, but anyway, getting old. I tried the church out, and I returned. I enjoyed tremendously Carol's sermons. I liked the whole thing about welcoming everybody, no matter what. And I've always felt like the church has done that. But that's me. And I think we're working on being even more welcoming and accepting, reaching out, I hope. That's what we're working on. Let's see, what else was it? The first person, I know a lot of people will remember her, the old timers anyways, Carolyn Clark. And she welcomed me. And she told me all about the Christmas Eve service. And she said it's beautiful. And the lights go out. And there's we do it by candlelight. And she just went on to explain it. And I just thought that was so nice of her. We all miss Caroline. I like, of course, everybody knows I like coffee hour. But not just for the coffee and the goodies, but to get to know people That is such a big thing. Not every church does that. And I think it's good to learn about people in, you know, their personal lives, their prayers that they want answered, and so on and so forth, where they came from. I joined the choir with Mr. Dave, finally. I remember Anne, I can't think of her last name now, but she had kept inviting me, and I was like, oh, no way am I getting up there, you know. And finally, I ended up joining after, I mean, it was a couple of years, took me that long to get the courage up. And I enjoyed the choir so much. And Dave, I'm losing my good voice from not singing with the choir. I need help. Oh, okay, let's see. I joined the Women's Christian Fellowship. It's called the Women's Union at the time. And that was great too. We were hard workers, but we also had a lot of fun and made a lot of friends with that. I'm now a deacon, and my job is to send out cards to people who are sick, who have lost someone. If you're looking for types of things to do to serve the Lord, there's a lot of things you can do. It doesn't have to be a great big commitment. I happen to like that because I love people and care about people. Wrote down a couple of side things too. Apple Pie Day. I love going to that and peeling the apples and talking with the ladies. And there's one lady that comes from another church, another denomination, in fact. And we all sit there and chat and get along great. And it's just nice. It's a good feeling. And there's also the Lincoln Circle for the Blind. The lunches they have twice a year. We can donate our time and food too. And I've really enjoyed that because I had been looking for something that my youngest son passed away, who was legally blind, and I wanted to do something to remember him. And I could go on and on why I love the church, but that'll be it for now. So I let Carol do her preaching. Bye now.
Thank you so much, Jackie. And you're right, every story is individual. And that was Ann Botsford, by the way, who was in the choir. And unfortunately, she has since passed away as well. But thank you for that, Jackie. I appreciate it. This is the time we do share our celebrations. And I would like to first say happy Labor Day weekend. And please stay safe as you celebrate on this long weekend. Janice and Dennis Bizio are doing much better now, and they thank you for all of your prayers and good wishes. Ed is home from the Maples, as you know, and his wife Janet is still there, but hopes to be home by Tuesday. Again, does anyone out there have a celebration they would like to share?
I'd like to share that after almost going on 2 years, my son landed a job at a veterinarian hospital again, and he starts on Tuesday. Oh. And he's very excited. He's going to be making some decent money. He loves the place. It's all brand new. It's in Warwick, Rhode Island, which is close for him. And he's just so excited about getting back to work. And I'm excited that he's finally got a job and he's doing something he loves. So I celebrate that and thank the Lord for that.
That is good news. That is so good. Glad to hear it. Hope he doesn't re-hurt his back. He's going to have to be careful. Yeah.
If I may.
Yeah, Tammy.
My older son, Jonathan, whom you've met, mm-hmm. he actually starts work tomorrow. He had been off work since December, I believe. He ruptured his Achilles tendon at the job he had just started. And they did not have long-term disability, so he had to give up his job. But he got another job at a university beginning tomorrow, so he'll be back into advising again. So we're grateful for that.
Oh, that's wonderful, Tammy. Excellent. Any other celebrations? Okay, if not, then let us turn to our concerns as a church family. I've been in touch several times with Loretta Lomoff, and she has asked me to express her gratitude for all of your prayers and good wishes following Nikolai's death. And I'm going to ask that we continue to pray for her as well, because she's really struggling in many, many ways. So this morning we pray for people who are ill and others in need of prayer, including Cher, Tyler, Steve, Ken, Chad, Doris, Amy and Jeff, who are, I think, grandchildren of friends of Jackie Howard, who were diagnosed with the COVID virus. Brigitte, Lee, Nancy, who is Kathy Trowbridge's mother. She is out of the hospital and she is now in rehabilitation. We pray for Marie as well. And we pray for Carl Barry on the sudden death of his wife, Kathy, and there's going to be a private burial this coming Wednesday. Those who are in the nursing homes and assisted living, we pray for Bud, Jackie, and Carol. And we continue to pray for all of the people who are suffering during this terrible pandemic and for the first responders, for everyone who works in the medical profession, all the essential workers, for our government officials, and for those who suffer from addictions. As always, we pray for our nation and our communities as we face the divisiveness and all of these difficult days together. So please join with me in a moment of prayer, and there will be a time of silence, and we ask you to lift up at home, wherever you are, the names of any other people that you wish to have in our prayers this morning. Let us pray. On this Labor Day weekend, we pause to relish these last days of summer. We thank you for blessing many of us with jobs that we can still do, for schools and educators who are struggling with decisions around the safety of their children in school and their own safety from the coronavirus as school schedules begin to open. We pray for a nation that is free to worship you as we please, even if we cannot be together in our sanctuaries. But we are ever mindful of threats of our security in the world at this same time. This Friday, we commemorate the 19th anniversary of those terrible events of 9/11. And we pray for the souls of all of those lost during that terrible time. And now we pray for deliverance from this terrible pandemic that doesn't seem to want to go away. And we pray for our nation that we might find our way out of all of the divisiveness that separates us. Strengthen the faith in us that you are still watching over us and that you will never forsake us. We pause to remember all of those who are ill today or in nursing homes. We pray for your healing hand to be upon all of those whom we have mentioned and all of those whom we now lift up into your presence in this time of silence as we worship at home. Gracious God, be with those of our young men and women who are serving overseas and in this nation in difficult and dangerous places due to the actions taken that do not favor their security. Provide them with a safe passage home. We pray for peace in our world and for your peace, which passes human understanding. All this we only dare ask in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.
Our scripture lesson for today continues the story of surrounding Moses. Last week, we heard about how Moses convinced Pharaoh to let the Hebrew slaves leave their bondage in Egypt. They've done everything required of them by Moses through God. They have been spared the final plague of the death of the firstborn in each household by slaughtering a lamb and using the lamb's blood as a signal to the angel of death to spare their households. Now it is time to leave Egypt. We'll be reading from Exodus chapter 14, verses 5 through 15. Please hear these words. When the king of Egypt was told that the people had fled, the minds of Pharaoh and his officials were changed towards the people, and they said, "What have we done, letting Israel leave our service?" So he had his chariot made ready and took his army with him. He took 600 picked chariots and all the other chariots of Egypt with officers over all of them. The Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he pursued the Israelites who were going out boldly. The Egyptians pursued them, all Pharaoh's horses and chariots, his chariot drivers and his army. They overtook them camped by the sea by Pi-Hahiroth in front of Baal-Zephon. As Pharaoh drew near, the Israelites looked back, and there were the Egyptians advancing on them. In great fear, the Israelites cried out to the Lord. They said to Moses, "Was it because there were no graves in Egypt that you have taken us away to die in the wilderness? What have you done to us bringing us out of Egypt? Is this not the very thing we told you in Egypt? Let us alone and let us serve the Egyptians, for it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the wilderness." But Moses said to the people, "Do not be afraid. Stand firm and see the deliverance that the Lord will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall never see again. The Lord will fight for you, and you have only to keep still." Then the Lord said to Moses, "Why do you cry out to me? Tell the Israelites to go forward." Please help us in our understanding of these words.
This is a rather amusing scene in the book of Exodus. The children of Israel are trapped between the Red Sea and the army of Pharaoh, which is hot on their heels. And Moses is exhorting the people to trust in God, that God will not forsake them. And God breaks in on Moses' exhortation. And as the Living Bible paraphrases it in verse 17, God says to Moses, "Quit praying and get the people moving forward. March." Which is kind of an interesting way to paraphrase that. So there's a time for praying, but there is also a time for moving forward. There's no virtue in standing still at this point. There seems to be, to the Israelites, no way to escape. Remember, the ancient Hebrews were desert people, and they were terrified of the ocean as a place full of monstrous animals, which they called Leviathan, which is a fire-breathing dragon, and other perils. There were no gold medal swimmers among them, and in fact, I would presume that probably none of them had ever needed to know how to swim. I think you've probably heard the expression, "I'm up to my neck in alligators." You know what it means. It means to be overwrought with deadlines and expectations in work or at home or in school, to be nearly consumed, to be working to your full capacity, to be totally exhausted. It means I'm close to drowning. I'm really in over my head. Have you ever been in trouble in the water? I can tell you from personal experience that it is a feeling you never, never want to have, because I came very close to drowning once as a small child, and I still remember that experience. Moses kept pushing these desert dwellers closer and closer to an ocean, to the sea. I'm sure they were becoming more and more panicky. And what did they know about Moses anyway? Did they trust him? They didn't really know Moses. They had known him as a part of the Egyptian royal household. They had no idea really why he was doing what he was doing. He had been gone until now, hiding in the hills after he had killed an Egyptian slave master, one of his fellow countrymen, unbeknownst to them. He was a countryman of theirs. And all of a sudden he declares, he too is a Hebrew, and that God has called him to lead these people to a new place, a place of promise, a place of blessings, an unknown place where they could reside in the presence of God. And so they go. They put their trust in God and in Moses as God's mouthpiece, and they go. But their trust falters many times, we're going to hear. In fact, we already know, or maybe you don't, that even after they are led through the miracle of the Red Sea, still they take 40 long years to make the two-week pilgrimage from Egypt to Jordan. 40 years. And we think our wait with this pandemic is going slowly. But imagine it, 40 years to make a two-week trip. Those Hebrews were facing a difficult choice. Plunge into the sea or turn back to slavery and even probable death. In this reading, we find the people of God, led by Moses, wading into the waters of the Red Sea in faith to escape the pursuing Egyptians. The scriptures tell us that the angel of God moved the pillar of cloud from in front of the Israelites to behind them, coming between them and the armies of Egypt. Suddenly, the Lord drove back the waters to allow the people through. But when the Egyptians followed them through the parted waters, of course, the chariot wheels became stuck in the soft sand and the sea rushed in over them and the army of Pharaoh was destroyed. The Israelites were at first terrified, but Moses assured them that the Lord would see them through. If they had remained on that shore, they would have been consumed. The only way through to the other side was to wade through the water. And as they did, the waters receded and they passed into a new place. We, as the people of God, as the Israelites before us, we fear the unknown, the tumult, the chaos we're experiencing. As a small town of Newtok in Alaska, and they faced a challenge when the Bering Sea community became threatened and the land eroded so badly that their homes began collapsing into the sea. They had lived in that town for many generations and they were frightened and dismayed to pick up and move from their ancestral homes. And yet they knew that if they stayed, they would be swept away into the sea. So they moved 10 miles north to Merdevec and established a new home and a village there. When your landscape changes, you adapt or you die. And so it is too with our personal landscapes and our cultural landscapes. It doesn't matter whether we are talking about the Israelites leaving the security of their longtime Egyptian homes in the most cosmopolitan city in the world, as they knew it, to trek across the desert and to cross through a sea, or whether we're talking about our own challenges today with this pandemic, with our neighbors calling out for racial justice, for the chaos we see night after night on the news. There's an old spiritual from the South called Wade in the Water, and it is said to have secret codes embedded into it to reassure those slaves crossing the Ohio River that once over the border, they would be free. For those fleeing on the Underground Railroad, they hoped to wade into the water as soon as they could and to travel through the water as much as possible so that the bloodhounds sent to track them down would lose their scent and they would be able to escape and be assured safe passage. It's hard to move forward when we don't have an end in sight, when we don't know where we are going exactly, because we must rely only on the providence of God. It's the hardest thing God asks us to do as human beings, because we humans, more than anything else in the world, fear not knowing what is coming next. Jesus reminds us that no matter where or who we are, God is calling us as disciples to lead the way, to cross over into new places and new times, and perhaps even new ways of doing church, to put aside our fear of the future and to embrace the waters of the unknown, knowing that God will lead us through to a new and better place. May God be with us during this upcoming week. Amen.
now receive the benediction. Just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
So this concludes our services this morning. So stick around for our virtual coffee hour, Jackie Glass's favorite time at church, as she revealed to us. And stick around if you would like to be in conversation.